All right, so first and foremost, of course, we all know how it goes. Pastor Dario texts you and you find yourself up here. And so initially, I thought this was going to be those gospel in the movies. So in my head, I'm like, this is fine. We're going to watch a movie for 15, 20 minutes and I talk about it. So I started watching Lord of the Rings, right, to prepare because there are so many gospel messages there. But then I found out it's not there. And, you know, at that point, it's a little too late, of course, to say anything else. But it is indeed a privilege to be asked to stand up here in front of you all today. So I'm very grateful to Pastor Dario Modipe for the trust and just believing in me and just all that they've been to Shannon and I. And also, you know, my parents are here in interestingly, I grew up seeing both of my parents preaching in church, and you know, they sent me to seminary boarding school in Nigeria, and even the name they gave me, some theological who followed me and praise God, in their head, you know, it's always been, he's going to do this. And in my head, it's always been, I'm not going to do this. So it's kind of a full circle moment them being here. Seeing this. So, you know, thank you all for just always putting God first in our lives growing up. And then my fiancée Shannon, I'm just immensely blessed to have you in my life. it's been a great few years, and thank you for helping me prep for this, asking all the difficult questions as I was doing this, and you know, I'm just excited for what the future holds for us. So, thank you. All right. So, over the past few weeks, we've been going through this series called Gospel on the Move. And this series looks at how the gospel have advanced following the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And if you've been here with us over the past few weeks, you can see that as the gospel was advancing, it's not exactly been like Emirates or Qatar Airline, right? It wasn't like smooth. It's been more like a Spirit Airline, you know? It's moving. It's going to get you there, but, you know, there's going to be a couple of delays. However, the gospel remained on the move. It kept moving. In Acts 5, we saw opposition within the church, right? Opposition through sin by the stories of Ananias and Sapphira. In that same chapter, we also saw opposition by jealousy, right? We saw the leaders of the time, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they arrested Peter for teaching the gospel and they threatened him, telling him to stop. Obviously, he refused to stop. And then, as we advanced to Acts 6, as we looked at last week, we saw opposition by prejudice and how the church dealt with that. When people within the church felt like, oh, there's favoritism, the church had to rise up and deal with that because that is indeed part of our lives. And the interesting thing about all of these things that we've seen so far is that all of this happened within Jerusalem. And if you're like me, I studied history when I was in school. So, you know, my parents are not very proud of me, given, you know, being African and all. However, when I started reading this story, one of the first things I asked is like, man, how big is Jerusalem? So I looked it up, and it is 1 by 1 square mile at this time. For example, from 59 to West Alabama, that's 1 mile. If you cut across to Buffalo Speedway, right, that's it. So all of these things that has been happening is happening within a 1 square mile area. That means it's not even a full zip code. Everybody knows everybody. So if you're a Christian at that time, where are you going to hide? Like, you are seeing people get persecuted left and right. Are you going to proudly carry your Bible and be like, I'm a Christian? Or are you going to seek comfort and be like, you know what? I'm going to pray at home. I don't need to do all that. So, having explored that, as I wrote through this, it led me to 2 questions that I want us to explore today. So the first question is, given that this happened thousands of years ago, first, Are Christians today still being persecuted? And the second question is it easier to follow Jesus today than it was to follow him when he was here on earth? Before we look at these questions, let's get back to the text. I want to talk about Stephen real quick. So the first mention of Stephen was in Acts 6, verse 5. So here we saw Stephen. It says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of spirit and of the Holy Spirit. Stephen, a man full of spirit and of the Holy Spirit. So this is how Stephen was described the first time he was mentioned in the Bible, a man full of the Spirit. If we go further back, what was Stephen even called? What were they looking for people? As we learned last week, some widows in church were not being properly taken care of. So the apostles needed some men to handle that. They needed some men to go provide food and take care of the widows so they themselves can focus on the more important thing, which is preaching the word. So you can argue that serving food is not that important. So Stephen was called to do this. Why the apostles focus on preaching the word. Then, fast forward to today, we saw Stephen, suddenly he's arrested. What is he arrested for? Preaching the word. How do we get there? You are called to serve food, and now you get arrested for preaching. Looking at the fact that Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit, we can say that Stephen is a man who loves God. Yeah? And then they called him to serve food. Right? And people that serve food, you know, you need a special type of anointing to do that. So we can say that Stephen loves people. And then today he got arrested for preaching. So Stephen was making kingdom disciples in his sphere of influence. Sounds familiar, huh? So while Stephen was doing this, two things we can see from his life, first and foremost, is his faithfulness. Stephen was very faithful in the very thing he was asked to do. So anywhere we find ourselves, faithfulness in small things is very important. It is that faithfulness in that small thing that allowed him to expand beyond that. The Holy Spirit expanded his capacity because of how faithful he was in the things that he's doing. And furthermore, another lesson from the life of Stephen here is that we can see his reputation. His reputation reflects his witness. When the apostles needed people, Stephen was one of the first names that they called because they've been seeing him in community. They've seen the things that he can do. So in the same way, what does our reputation say about us? If we are described, are we going to be described as someone full of the Holy Spirit or someone full of it? Is the life we are living different from the life we want to live? Do the people who know us in church, are they going to say the same things as the people who knew us outside of church? Have our life before Christ changed to now? So, bearing that in mind, let's talk about the two questions I want to talk about. So first, are Christians today still being persecuted? Now, given that AI is about to take all of our jobs and that the amount of money Facebook is paying to hire people from ChatGPT, I decided maybe I need to start using it a little bit more. So I went on ChatGPT and I looked up religious persecution. And so religious persecution is defined as the unfair or violent treatment of individuals or groups based on their religious beliefs. It can take many forms, including discrimination, harassment, destruction of worship places or texts, and imprisonment. Now, if we look at the lives of the apostles following the death of Christ, can we say that they were being persecuted? Yes, right? We've seen imprisonment, false accusations all the time. We've seen harassment. We've seen destruction of, well, not quite destruction of places of worship, but obviously, you know, the places where they do worship are being harassed often. They're being called out. We've seen them being put through a lot of things at this time. Now, the apostles also at this time, the interesting thing with this persecution in my head is that given everything that's going on, why do they keep going? Given that everybody knows you if you're a believer, why do they keep going? And it comes down to, going back to Stephen, the Holy Spirit. If you are full of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to say things, you're not going to say things the same way as someone who is not full of the Holy Spirit would, because the Holy Spirit moves through you. So the apostles were able to keep going through all this. And another reason is also because of you and I. Like, the message that they have is so important, and they believe so much in it that they think that you and I deserve to have that message, so they're willing to do everything to ensure that the message comes down to us today. Now, the apostles at that time, the other part of religious persecution is it's oftentimes done, right, to suppress a particular faith. Obviously, in the apostles, we can see that. Forced conversion or maintain control by a dominant group. Now, do we still see evidences of those today? Perhaps in the Middle East, because most people there are Muslims. When people turn to Christ, oftentimes their families will disown them. We've had stories of people both in India and Iraq that their siblings brought them out and honor killed them because they became Christians. How about in Nigeria? Man, we read about Boko Haram every so often. We see Christians in Nigeria, the things that they're going through in northern parts of Nigeria. And yet, they kept pushing. You know, some of this sounds a little distant because, I mean, we're in Bible Belt, USA. We're in Houston. I mean, I don't remember the last time I've seen anybody in Houston being imprisoned for being a believer, right? And, you know, the apostles were flogged publicly. Now, that part actually stood out to me because I don't know how many of you went to boarding school in Nigeria, but one of the blessings of being in boarding school is public flogging. You know, you go through it, you look forward to doing it, right? And, you know, one of my favorites is when the SP walks into class and is like, names of noisemakers. Nobody was talking. Now, if you're the class prefect, you have two options. First, you manufacture a name, or secondly, you go and get flogged. So, God forbid you are not friends with the class prefect, right? He's going to make up a name, and they're going to get flogged. And, you know, unlike the apostles, I don't think the apostles were like those people, you know, those people that stand like trees. They stand there like nothing. They collect 12, like it's nothing. See, now, that's not me. If you tell me you're going to flog me tomorrow, I start crying today. So, I feel like the apostles are maybe a little more like me. Now, we don't see that around us in Houston, so all of this persecution feels distant. But if we try to bring it a little back home, a few years ago in England, there's a man, Adam Smith Connor, who was arrested for, I kid you not, silently praying outside an abortion clinic. Silently praying outside an abortion clinic. He got arrested and he got convicted. Over the past year in America, we've seen tons of people, a lot of women, who are protesting outside of abortion clinics get arrested and imprisoned. How different is that from, you know, the protests on January 5th a few years ago? But we're not going to talk about that, right? Some people get arrested and imprisoned for doing something that is legal. Why? You see, the truth is, things are changing around us, and we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to be able to see those things. Because we are so comfortable that if the state of Texas today said we're going to change our curriculum, we're no longer going to pray in school, we're no longer going to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, what are we going to do? Private schools. We're going to send our kids to private schools, right? Because we don't want to deal with that. The apostles didn't have private schools to run off to. They had to deal with what's happening to them. Or maybe in our workplaces, when we're told you can't talk about your religion, but my coworker can talk about spiritualism and all the Virgo and Sagittarius and all that, right? That's what they believe in. They can talk about that, but no, I cannot talk about Jesus. What do we do? Well, I'll talk about Jesus at home. Or when I go to church, I'll talk about it. Home group, I'll talk about it. You can't pray at work. Well, I can pray in my account the way to work. When a coworker opens up to you about what's going on in their life, as Christians, what should be our response, right? We should offer to pray for them. Tell them where our what sustains us. But we don't. We're like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, that sucks. It's going to be all right. Thoughts are with you. Why can't we open the Bible? Be like, hey, can I read something for you? Can I encourage you from what I believe? See, our faith is no longer, our faith is becoming our private belief now. We are holding it in. It's something that just between us and God. And that's something that the world loves to say. My religion is between me and God. It's not between me and you, right? Why? Because we don't want to be seen as judgmental. We don't want to be those Christians that persecute people. We don't want to be oppressive because a whole big movement now is that Christianity is an oppressive religion because of all the whole colonialization and all that, right? So Christianity is now oppressive, you know? But I mean, is that really Christianity? Or is that just what people did in the name of Christianity, right? And then we're letting that silence us. You know? So how do we respond to persecution around us? First, we have to let our faith be our identity, not just our private belief. We can offer prayers to people. And we have to live a life that attracts people to who God is. Like, when people text us, what are they texting us about? Are they texting us to go do something that a Christian should not be doing? Our social media usage, what does that reflect? Does that reflect someone who is full of the Holy Spirit? Do people reach out to us for prayers and encouragement? Or do they reach out to us for other things? And then, finally, to our last question. Is it easier to follow Jesus then or today? Now, I would imagine if I'm living 2,000 plus years ago when Jesus was here, obviously I've grown up knowing that a Messiah is coming. So I believe that. And then Jesus comes around, he's doing all these miracles. It makes sense. He must be the Messiah. And then the religious teachers who have been telling me to await a Messiah and are telling me, no, he's fake. But I see him doing miracles. I see him raise Lazarus from the dead. So I'm like, no, he's definitely the Messiah. However, I see them arrest him and kill him. I'm like, well, why is he dying? He's supposed to be the Messiah. The Messiah doesn't die. He's here to save us. And they killed him. And he, technically, you can say that he resurrected, right? Because there were tons of doubts then that he resurrected. Obviously, now we know that he did. So, would I really believe then seeing all the things the apostles were going through at the time, will I really believe that he indeed is the Messiah compared to today? You see, part of the reason the apostles kept advancing the gospel, the reason why, despite how hard it was for them to do everything that they did, is because they know that the gospel is not just a message. See, the gospel is the very power of God at work. It transforms lives and calls people to a new purpose. And the way we see the gospel shapes the way we react to it. If the gospel is just a message, it's going to be a message, right? If you have a message, you share that with who you want to. But if the gospel is indeed transformative in your life, if it is the power of God to you, then that changes your lives. Every being in you is going to reflect that. When I was younger, My understanding of the gospel stemmed from Mount Zion movies. I don't know if any of you watched those growing up. Man, that was one called Perilous Times. Oh, yes. Whew. I watched this movie, the quick synopsis of this movie is like this pastor who did everything right, but his wife was horrible. And, you know, he lived the perfect life. One day he had some guests over, his wife was supposed to cook, she didn't cook. And of course, that's when the rapture happened. And now his wife didn't cook and he got angry. So in his anger, the rapture happened. All his friends, we saw them transport to heaven, but not him. So he was standing there and he had to go through tribulation to end his way to heaven. And to me, walking away, I'm like, okay, it's all about timing. If I'm in church, when the rapture happens, I'm good. If I'm hitting all the altar calls wherever I see them, I'm good. If I'm outside, however, that's a problem. But after a while, that becomes harder. But now, when you understand grace, when the Holy Spirit helps you understand what grace is, you will see that it's not your work that's going to save you. It is grace that saves, right? In Ephesians 2, we are told, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, that no one might boast. Now, last thing here. So back to Stephen briefly. We saw Stephen, as Stephen was about to die, I'm like running low on time. As Stephen was about to die, there are two things there that stood out. Stephen saw heaven open. And when heaven opened, he saw Jesus. And it tells us there that Jesus was standing. Jesus was standing in approval of the things that Stephen was going through at that time. Jesus was standing in approval of his life, of his mission. On the other hand, also, we saw someone else standing. We saw Saul standing. Saul was standing in approval of what's happening to Stephen. So both Jesus and Saul were both standing in approval, right? So in the same way for us, who is standing in approval of our life? Is it Jesus or is it another man? You know, the difference between the creator and the created is that at the end of the day, all created are going to answer to the creator. And we know what happened with Paul. A few chapters over, Paul went from Saul, went from being Saul to Paul. He went from killing disciples and apostles to eventually dying himself over the defense of the gospel. So, I want to leave you with this. When we think about persecution, and when we think about if it's easier to follow Jesus then or now, I think ultimately we can all say that it's easier to follow Jesus today. I think we can say that persecution today is not as it was before. And yet the apostles went through that. So I ask you, if then the apostles were able to go through all of those things, giving everything around them, if they were able to go through all that, what's stopping us? Right? What does the gospel mean to us? Is it just a message? Because if it's a message, then it's just a message. But if it has transformed our lives, then our lives should not be the same. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for just your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for grace that is abundant. Thank you, Lord, that it is through grace that we are saved and not works, O God. Father, we thank you also for us being here. We're not being currently hunted down, Lord. So, Father, I pray, Lord, for your boldness to go with us as we depart. In your name we pray. Amen.